it's okay. Not everyone needs to understand you. Not everyone needs to know your why. And either, like, if they see it eventually, that's great. But if they don't, like, that's fine. You need to worry about you and focus on you and how you're meant to serve this world and show up in this world.
Welcome to the Hey Presley podcast, where we give you the practical tools and inspiring conversations to pursue a higher quality of life. Through a variety of topics, we intend to show you that an exceptional life is available to anyone. I'm your host, Presley Hirsch, and let's dive in. Hey friends, and welcome back to the Hey Presley podcast. Before I get into what today's show is all about, I want to do something that I haven't done in a while, which is share a review from a listener just like yourself. This one comes from Jennifer Jacobson on iTunes and says, quote, "Amazing. I feel so inspired and empowered after listening to just a few episodes. I can't wait to listen to more. Thank you so much for asking the powerful questions that we all need to be thinking about. XO." Quote, thank you, Jennifer, for tuning in and taking the time to leave a review and sharing your love for this show. If you would like the chance to be featured on this show or just want to make my day, please take just a moment and rate and review this podcast in your podcast app, and thank you so much in advance. Now, on to today's show. Today, I'm chatting with CPA and founder of Leaders Online, Katie Thomas. She is a digital marketing strategist, content creation expert, national speaker, and entrepreneur. And I actually had the privilege of working with Katie and her team back when she was doing accounting full-time. So when she decided to transition to helping businesses with their digital marketing and scaling their businesses in the same way that she did with hers, I knew that I wanted to invite her on the show to talk through that transition. Because as many of you know, as loyal listeners of the show, I've gone through major career transitions over the last few years and have spoken to that here, but I thought hearing it from somebody else, you know, both about the emotional side and the tactical side of going through a really big job pivot, whether you're self-employed or not, is super valuable. So we talk about the ways that you might be getting in your own way when it comes to that, hurdles that might be coming up as you're exploring options for your path or your next steps. We also talk about how identity is wrapped up in what you do and so much more. So please enjoy my conversation with Katie Thomas. Katie, thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited to have you. And from talking to you before this and an off air, I know that your story is just going to be so relatable for a lot of our listeners. And I'm excited to share and shine some light on what it's like to go through a transition, both professionally and personally. But I do want to start more towards the beginning, just to provide some context. So I read that you got your bachelor's and master's in accounting, and then you started your own firm, your own CPA firm in 2017. First, is that right? Hopefully what I read online is right. And then if so, what drew you to starting your own business?
Yeah. So I got started out in accounting. My degrees are in accounting. I actually never wanted to be an accountant. I grew up, I was someone that always had the entrepreneurial bug. I know some people start their own business and they never see themselves starting their own business. And some are like, hey, I always had this vision. And for me, I always had the vision that I wanted my own business. And so when I went to college, because that was the thing, everyone goes to college, you must get a degree. I was like, oh my gosh, I have no idea what to major in. I want to start my own business. And so people said, hey, accounting is the language of business. You can't go wrong if you get this degree. And so I took a class my freshman year and I was like, hey, I actually like really enjoy just math and accounting was a natural fit. So I thought, okay, I'll get this degree. And, you know, throughout the process of getting my undergrad and my master's and then going to work at a CPA firm. So I actually got my CPA too, went all the way. I was like, you know what? Sometime it'll just come to me. Like I know what my business will be. And I just kept waiting and waiting and waiting. And guess what? Nothing came for me. No one's coming for you. And so I started to feel like internally, like very like nauseous about this. And I just kept every single day I would walk into my corporate job and I'd be like, gosh, there's got to be something more. And I kept listening to podcasts and I ended up getting super sick. I was in the hospital for over a week. I had pancreatitis. They could not figure out what caused it. Usually you're dealing with drug issues or alcohol issues. And thankfully I wasn't dealing with any of those. So it was really scary because whenever something like that happens to you and they can't figure out what causes such a serious reaction in your body and I couldn't eat food for 5 days. It was crazy. And they're talking about your heart stopping. And so I went back to work after that and I was like, okay, time to like wake up to these internal feelings and like whatever's going on, like you are making yourself sick and you're not listening to yourself. Your body's giving you all these signs that you need to do something else. You need to leave. And now you ended up in the hospital. Like, what more of a sign do you need? And so then I was like, all right, I got to quit. And so I thought, I still was at that point where I was like, you know what? I don't really see myself being an accountant, but I have these skills. So I'm going to leave. I'm going to run my own CPA firm because I know the skills. I know I can provide value to people. I can take care of them. And in the meantime, like I need to discover what it is that I really love. And so I got my business started. And thankfully, if you do have some sort of degree or skill in something, I think that's a great time to use it to make income, but also explore what you really, really want to do. And so my husband, he's an automation engineer, and he knew a ton about technology and how to set up systems and transfer data from one place to another. And so I thought it might be fun to combine our skills and start working with accounting firms and professional service providers to help them automate their practice. We really dove in with the marketing piece all the way through the onboarding of the clients and the client experience. So how do we set up funnels to bring clients into them, to then send them emails, which Presley, I know that you're really into systems. So how can we send them emails? How can we easily onboard our clients, manage our tasks, billing, and so forth? And so while I was running the accounting, I essentially started pitching this to accounting firms. I had not found anyone else that was offering it to them, but it seemed like it was needed. So we started offering it to them and it really exploded. And now I've transferred all of my accounting clients off. I'm not serving accounting because that's not me. And I'm super focused on helping professional service providers with their marketing. And my husband's really good at the back end. So once the client's in the funnel and says, okay, like I'm actually ready to convert, he really helps with the onboarding, the managing tasks, the documents, and their workflow.
That's awesome. There is so much to unpack there. This is so good. And you and I will have to like offline, unless people find it interesting, which maybe I'll have to put it out there if they would find it interesting, talk about systems and funnels and automation, because that is so my jam. But I also feel like it probably sounds like a foreign language to a lot of people. okay, that's so good. So the first thing that really stuck out to me was the fact that you started a business that you knew wasn't the end goal, which I think is really interesting because starting a business is not easy. You don't do it overnight. You don't do it in a weekend. It takes a lot of work. And I know from working with your accounting firm in previous years that you had people that on your team and it was a full like running business. And that's not an easy or lazy thing to do, not like a side hustle. So I think it's really interesting that you started that knowing, okay, this will provide income and give me experience while I figure out what it is that I'm going to do. Was that tough for you to think like I'm building this thing that I know I don't want to do forever? Or were you able to look at it as more of a short term, like this is just what I need to do right now until I figure it out?
Yeah, that's such a good question. So whenever I first started building it, I was so into exploring like what feels good. And I thought, you know what, through this process, I can still find things that feel good, even if I don't foresee myself being an accountant long term. And so as I was building it, I was really open-minded to, you know, if I do fall in love with running my own accounting firm, then that's great. Cause I always saw myself being a business owner and I knew that the skills I was developing are very transferable. So whether you have one business or another, like the marketing process, the process of getting yourself out there, putting your offer into the world, getting rejected, and going through a lot of those things, those are going to be very transferable no matter where you're at. And so I just tried to approach starting this business as, hey, I might find that I do love it. And maybe I wasn't into accounting because I was in a firm and it wasn't my own business, but no matter what happens, I know that my clients I'm going to serve in this business and I'm either going to love it or I'm actually going to make myself take the time and take a step back to find out what I really do love, because I could not do that at my corporate job. It was so demanding.
Yeah, that's so good. Is you know you want to be an entrepreneur, you know that you want to be in a place where you're starting your own business. So doing it, even if it's not exactly what you want to do, utilizes the skills that you paid a bunch of money to go to school for. And like you said, gives you all those transferable skills of putting an offer out there, getting rejected, talking to clients, creating systems, all of those great things.
Yeah.
That's so smart. And has your husband been an entrepreneur for a long time?
No. So he had a full-time job whenever we were first getting like our piece of the business started up. And thankfully I'm so lucky that I don't know how he does it. He's very intelligent in the fact that he was able to really understand, especially with the accounting firms, when like, hey, they have all these problems, like here's their pain points. And like, he was able to understand the accounting talk so quickly. And he was open to working with me, you know, in the evening on this stuff and on the weekends, so I could really just focus on sales and customer acquisition during, you know, the working days. He actually now works some for an accounting software company. But then he also still helps me in the background. But that was, it's crazy how life happens. It was a natural transition where we were working together. And then this company, a lot of software companies, I'm not sure about you, Presley, but they started approaching me asking like what markets are wanting.
Yeah.
And so one of these gave him a really good opportunity to go on as a project manager. And it's just, it's crazy how life plays out.
Totally. That's so cool how it all came together in that way. And when did you start to feel that nudge? Because what's kind of going through my mind is I could see if you're looking for something that could be the right fit, that it would almost be easy to jump at any idea that started to feel good. Like you have an idea and you're like, oh, maybe I could do that. Or maybe I could do this, because you're like actively trying to find that thing. So when you say it started to feel good to realize that you could help other accounting firms with their systems and automation, what can you dive more into, like feel good? Like what did that actually feel like? How did you know?
Yeah. So it's something where you have these ideas. And I think that what you said is so true, where a lot of stuff can start to seem like I could do this, I could do that. And honestly, I still deal with that. That never goes away. But it's like whenever you have that one thing that keeps feeling good, while your mind keeps racing off in all these different directions, you notice yourself always coming back to this one thing. And it's like you might have this idea and then you go to four more and you come back to number one and then you go to four more and like this one just keeps coming up. So that was it for me. It just kept coming up. And to be honest, I think a lot of entrepreneurs, we are very creative. We're like always seeking for different ideas. Like that's what makes us us. So you're never going to stop having those sparks of inspiration and thoughts of like, oh, I could do this. But it's like whenever an idea just keeps coming back up, that's when you know that's the one.
Yeah. And do you do any, or did you do any kind of regular self-reflection, like journaling or meditation, or like taking time to get quiet? Because I know that when you're a business owner or somebody that just works a lot, it's really easy to stay busy and not ever take time to notice, what am I being called to? What ideas do I keep having? Some of those things that are easy to kind of push off when you're super busy. Do you have any habits like that?
Yeah. So I've done everything from meditation to journaling, and all of those, I would say I'm not like the most consistent with. For me, what I'm so consistent with is I actually go on walks. Mm. And for me, this is like different from any sort of like going to the gym, which I try to do like every day, pretty much 6 days a week. But for me, it's like the walk, something about not being like hard lifting or, you know, getting your heart rate up, but I just get so much clarity. And so I go on a walk every single night, and lately it's been every single morning too. And that's like where anytime I'm stuck, I like, it's weird. It's like I walk through the stuckness of it and I think through the stuckness of it. And I just like, I'll talk out loud to my husband and we'll just work through it.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. And I don't know the specific science on it, but I've heard that there is a lot of truth to being able to think a lot more clearly and have different ideas and be more creative when you're actively moving your body. But like you said, when you're lifting weights or you're in the middle of a CrossFit workout, you're probably not thinking through some of the stuckness.
Right. Yeah. So for me, that's like how I've been able to do it. But I do think like journaling and meditation is super effective in, for me, like giving myself like space. I've also found like some ideas do come through journaling, but my best, yeah, come through just walking.
That's so good. Talk to me about how you started to manage your ego or your identity as you went through this transition, because I think it would be easy to think, well, now I'm known as an accountant or now I'm known as a CPA. So How did you navigate, like, okay, now I want to be known as somebody that's an expert in automation and business building and systems and all these things that technically you probably didn't have a professional track record yet to prove that you knew, or people didn't know you for that? How did you manage kind of that identity shift?
So that was one of the hardest things to go through, I thought, because whenever you start something new, it's always like, what are people going to think of me? How am I going to be judged? Am I going to be thought of in the way I want to be thought of? Like, how are people going to perceive me? And so whenever I started my first business, I had those feelings. And then the second time when I was like switching into doing what I really wanted to do all along, it was almost worse, because it was like, okay, I'm going to be now not only like initially thought of like as someone who maybe thinks that they're better than their colleagues or who knows, but now they're going to be like, look, she can't even stick with one thing. Mm-hmm. When I knew deep down, like, I had a great business doing accounting, but that's just not what I wanted to do. So really just saying, okay, am I honoring myself? Am I honoring my truth? And if either other people are going to see that, and if they reject it, it's because they don't understand me. And like, that's okay. Like, it's okay. Not everyone needs to understand you. Not everyone needs to know your why. And either like, if they see it eventually, that's great. But if they don't, like, that's fine. You need to worry about you and focus on you and how you're meant to serve this world and show up in this world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, when we were talking about setting up this interview, you actually said, you know, I don't want to be known as somebody that helps with taxes and money anymore. How does it feel to finally say that out loud after years of going to school for it, knowing it wasn't right, starting a business that didn't feel quite right? Like, how does that feel?
It's so liberating. It's so, so liberating. It's like, that's the hardest part, is just putting it out there. And then once you say it, or you like change your title or anything, you're like, whew, that feels great. Yeah. A weight is lifted off my shoulder.
And how did you manage those conversations with your clients? Because I'm sure in the last few years, you built up a book of business of people that loved working with you. So how do you go about passing them off to somebody else, or saying like, hey, this is not what I'm going to be doing anymore? I'm sure that a little bit of that is scary just from a business and profit standpoint, because you're closing the door on your current revenue streams. But how do you also navigate those relationships without feeling bad that you're letting your clients down?
Yeah, so that's a great question. It was something that was harder for monthly clients, ones that I was like constantly working on. I should have done a better job for ones that I was just doing their taxes and reaching out to them. And I think that obviously that was going to come up with a new tax season. But as far as like monthly clients go, I always had someone lined up. And for anyone who, you know, wanted to start talking about the following tax year, I had someone I could refer them to. And I made sure it was someone who wasn't just like, hey, like, they'll take care of you. It's like, I know that they'll take really good care of you and treat you the same way that I treated you.
Yeah. And did you have to step fully away from the accounting business before you could step fully into this new business? Or did you try to grow it to a point where you had some revenue that you could count on, some systems that you knew would work before you let the accounting company go?
Yeah. So I had both for a while. And prior to having like the other business, the systems business, growing, I didn't feel like I needed to step away from the accounting one, but there became like a tipping point where I was like, okay, it's time to just let it go. And even though the other business, the accounting business, it made money and it did very well. So people could say like, oh, just keep it going. Like, and I thought about that for a while, but it just didn't feel good. And I'm someone who, like, I'm all into something and I want to be like the point of contact and know everything that's going on. And it, of course, as you grow your business, like, you can't know everything, but I like to be really involved. And so for me, it wasn't about like keeping that income stream open. It was just like, this doesn't feel good anymore. And I have this other one where I see it's growing and it's going to work. So I'm ready to go all in.
Yeah. And just from following you on social media, I can see that you've really stepped into, you know, you're great at getting in front of the camera and giving tactical tips and doing a lot of personal coaching on Instagram and on YouTube, which from an outsider view feels very different than what you probably did as a CPA, which seems like a lot of like behind the computer, behind emails and accounting software. Have you had to navigate any of your own personal judgments? I know we talked about, you know, kind of letting go of what other people think of your transition, but how have you navigated that for you personally, doing things that seem like they might be a little uncomfortable given that you probably didn't do them a lot in your last job?
That's a great question. For me, I always had like, I was always into like writing and being like more creative than probably your traditional accountant, and like having like a lot of really like deep, soulful conversations. Not that accountants don't, but I was so like, when I like look back on my history of like all the content I was consuming, it was like, that was what I was interested in. And I've been following people like yourself for a long time. And so for me, it wasn't hard internally, like to start putting that out there. It felt really, really good and really natural, mm-hmm. but it was really the fear of judgment that was uncomfortable.
Yeah. And has your family and close friends been super supportive? I know we worry a lot about the opinions of other people that we don't even know, but what about the people that you have to see a lot more often? Is it been really supportive, or is it tough to navigate like, okay, hey, I don't do that anymore. This is what I do now.
I think that when I started my first business, certain family members were kind of like, okay, like this, like, what are you doing? Like, are you sure that you don't like want to, you know, be less risky in your life? You're still young. But luckily they were still pretty supportive. And so when I switched, I actually, rather than them being the ones who were like maybe a little bit more concerned about me going out on my own, rather than them being like, what are you doing? I think that they trusted me that since I did it once and like, I'm okay, I'm still paying for things.
You're eating. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I think that they're like, okay, like she's got it, which I was afraid they'd be like, wow, she doesn't know what she's doing and she's flip-floppy. So I think I expected them to judge me a lot more than they did. And I'm very thankful that they didn't. And my friends, I don't really think they understand what I do unless they're in this space, and they're just, and all they are like is like, hey, if you're happy, that's good.
Totally. That's how I feel. I always tell my mom, I feel like that character from Friends, which I'm totally blanking on his name, Chandler, the one where like, no, you never find out what he does and nobody ever knows what he does.
Yeah.
I always tell my parents, I'm like, you have no, like, I get that you don't know what I do, but I promise I work a lot and that like I'm eating.
Yeah.
That's funny. So if somebody's going through this right now, where maybe they are in a profession working for somebody else or working for themselves, and they're thinking about exploring a different path but feel unsure or scared, what kind of advice would you give that person?
I would say to give themselves space. And that can be space like to go meditate, to go journal, to go to like a conference or a weekend event. Like, give yourself some space to explore this. And if your work doesn't allow you time during the day, like make time on the weekends, make time on the evening, and just see like how it feels. Because at least for me, whenever I was just sitting there waiting for this thing to come to me at my corporate job or somebody to essentially save me, like, you have to be the one to create that opportunity. And the best way I know to create it is to give yourself space and time, like put it in your schedule to be like, okay, I'm going to research this a little more, or I'm going to take some time to envision myself during a day. If I had my own business doing this, like, what would that look like? What would that feel like? And like, start just like creating it into your life right now.
Absolutely. I love that. And there's so many opportunities to talk to people that are doing what you think you want to do, or like to get involved in it just a little bit. I had somebody this morning reach out to me and ask, they saw something about becoming a nutrition coach, like a certification. And they were like, hey, do you think I'd be a good nutrition coach? And I'm like, yeah, I do. But like, why don't we go to lunch? And like, we can talk about what it's really like to be a nutrition coach. Like, before you go pay for a certification, like, I can refer you to some of my coaches, and I could go sit down with you and tell you like what a daily life in a nutrition coach looks like. And I think that a lot of times when we're grasping at straws for something different, we're quick to pay for something or try something or almost go too quick. And it's like, there's lots of opportunity to kind of try something and see if it starts to feel like a good fit.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love that you said that, because I think too, like, as you mentioned, there's like so many things and we can be very quick. And I think that we can be so quick to jump into something. Like for me, I just started up an accounting practice and it worked out, but I was so quick to just get away from my current situation that I love that advice. And I also think it's important to like talk to people like yourself who have been through it so that they can shine light on the good, but also the not so good. Because if you just talk to, say, a coach who wants to enroll you in their program, they're not going to probably, hopefully they do, but like it's going to be, they're going to be more talking about the benefits of what you could accomplish through going through their program. Whereas the reality is like, it's really hard and it's confusing and you feel lost and you feel stuck and you have long days. Like you're not going to get away from these long days. It's not just rainbows and butterflies. Like there's great things about doing something for yourself, running your own business, being a part of someone else's business, but it's hard. So yeah. You need to be ready for it.
Absolutely. A question that, I don't know if you listen to Tim Ferriss, but a question that he asks that feels relevant here is, you know, what kind of advice do people give in your space that is bad advice or advice that you disagree with? So I'm curious if there's advice or that you've gotten or things that you've heard in relation to starting your own business, or maybe it's transitioning into something new that you feel like maybe you disagree with or that you've found to be different.
Oh my gosh. That's a great question.
Thanks, Tim. It's not my question.
Oh my gosh. I have gotten a lot of advice and I've signed up for plenty of coaching programs, worked with coaches. And my advice would be that as you're like working through these programs or working one-on-one with something, you really need to decide whenever you're trying to say sales, that's a great one. It's uncomfortable. Is their advice that they're giving you, is it hard to implement because it's uncomfortable, it's new, like selling scary to you, or is it because it doesn't align with you? For example, my first coach, I thought he was fabulous, but he had like a certain sales process that he taught me, and some of the stuff he like had me do, like say ask for payment right up there on the phone, like collect credit card and everything, and a lot of people might recommend that. But I was like, I started to like panic every time this came up and it didn't feel right. And I noticed like when I stopped doing that, like I started to love sales again. And so advice is good and making you do certain things that make you uncomfortable is good, like pushing through fear. But if it doesn't actually like feel good to you, just because it works for someone else doesn't mean that like it, you need to make it work for you.
Absolutely. That's such a good point. And I actually have experienced the same thing. I remember when I first got into business ownership, I read a lot about ask for payment on the phone, like close the sale before they hang up. And to me, I thought, I don't like to do that. Like when I talk to people, I like to like think about what they told me, marinate on it, like check my budget, make sure I feel really good rather than just giving payment and then like being like, oh, okay, I hope this is the right fit. And so I'm like, well, I want to treat my clients the way that I would want to be treated. And so I also don't ask for payment over the phone for anything. And I agree, it feels so much more aligned for me. And that doesn't mean that it's wrong. Maybe it feels totally fine for some other people right, based on their personality or their business, but that's such a great point. You mentioned that you've had some coaches and been in some coaches programs, and having followed you, I know that you are a big believer in investing in yourself and your continuous skills and education. How do you distinguish what is worthy of investing in and what is good marketing, which you're probably a little bit more experienced in marketing, but there's so much out there all the time with Instagram ads and Facebook ads and just people on social media that are like, buy this program, buy this. So how do you distinguish what is actually going to add value and be the thing that you're looking for versus something that's just like a shiny object?
Oh my gosh, that's such a good question. And I think part of it is as you start to be in this space and you get marketed to so much more, you start to, at first you're like, oh my gosh, like this is it. This is the one. This is what I need. And then you're like, wait, this is like the same thing. For me, it has been reviewing like what do I actually not know about this? So if I like hear of a new program or an event, it's like digging into, okay, so what are they teaching me? And a lot of times people are teaching a lot of the same thing, which isn't wrong. That is a lot of times the principles of how you do marketing. Like those are the principles. So really finding coaches and people to invest in that are beyond my current skill set and are doing things that I want to do that offer something to help get me there. And I would say for anyone listening, if you're a little bit confused and you're, say, looking at investing in a new coaching program, ask them for the syllabus, ask them for what they're going to be covering with you. And if you already know a lot of that material, then it's not a good investment. But if it's like, hey, I don't know most of this, I only know 2 out of 10 things or 1 out of 10, then it's probably something worth looking into.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And really just seeing if it feels like a good personality fit too, probably,
yes.
You know, like a coach is somebody that you need to be able to be honest with and feel like you can trust, and making sure that it's not all sales and it feels like somebody that you can genuinely talk to is probably important.
Yes. Completely agree with that.
Yeah. And you mentioned that you haven't done a lot of personal growth, that you've like kind of been on this journey for a while. Have there been any specific books or podcasts that have really helped you as you've gone on this journey?
So there's been a lot of books I've read. I read books, listen to podcasts all the time. And I feel like it's been just taking little like nuggets of information from all of them. So it's not like I read one book and it changed my life. It's like I'll read a book and it's like it's a little fraction of a change and all these fractions keep adding up. Something that I'm doing right now is I've been reading A Tribe Called Bliss by Lori Harder. I'm sure you know Lori.
Yeah.
And I've been doing it with a group of women. We meet every Thursday and we talk about 2 chapters. And that's been a great experience because her book at the end of each chapter asks a lot of tough questions. And if I was reading it myself, I would be so tempted to just be like, oh, like just glance over the questions, be like, yeah, these are good, like not actually answer them. But when I have to show up and be honest and truthful, I found that to be like not only giving me clarity, but I've released a lot of things that I didn't even know I was holding on to. So that book is really good, but I would say you should do it with a group.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. I read it. She gave it to us at Powerhouse Women event. I believe it was last year, and it is a really good one. And those tough questions are totally things that you would never ask yourself, and your closest friends in the world probably wouldn't ask you. So being prompted is so valuable because I think it's so interesting. You're like, I let go of things I didn't even realize that I needed to let go of.
Yeah.
What is the importance of having accountability and community and support when you work for yourself and or when you're going through kind of an emotional identity transformation like you've gone through?
Oh my gosh, it's everything, because whenever you work for yourself, you're already a lot more isolated and the main person you're talking to is yourself in your head.
Right.
And that sounds sad, but it's really isolating. And if you don't have a group of people that you can confide in, that you know, I think it's really important to have ones that you can not only confide in, but they have experienced something similar, is so important, because they will, you know, you can bounce ideas off one another. You can just like let it out. And they're the ones who get it. Because if I tried to tell my, you know, one of my best friends, like she's not a business owner, most of my best friends aren't. And if I tried to like put this on them, not only would that just be a heavy weight, they would have no idea what I'm talking about. They'd be like, what do you mean you changed your business? Like, you're still working with accountants. Isn't that the same thing?
Right,
like, no, I'm having to like totally shift my identity. And it's just, you need people that can lift you up. You need people that you can go to at times that you're just like, I feel like giving up. And like, you want to be that person for them too. So it's so important.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to speak a little bit to LinkedIn, because we were talking about that before we got on. And I know that that's something that you've really used as an active channel. And it's something that I admittedly don't utilize very much and I'm a little scared of. So that's on my list, long list of things to do to dive more into that. But I have had a few opportunities come through LinkedIn without even being really intentional. And I think it is a tool that maybe some people just like totally are like, I'm not looking for a job, so I don't need to be on there. I don't work for myself, so I don't need to be on there. Can you speak a little bit to how you've utilized it and why you think it's a great tool to utilize?
Yeah, so LinkedIn has over 600 million people on it, and only 0.5% of those people create or share content weekly. So whenever I'm saying share, it's like, hey, Presley posted something, I'm going to share it. And what that means for you is there's tons of people on it. Most of them are business owners. I think like I don't know the statistics, but a huge percentage of them are business owners. So whether you are looking for a new job, you run your own business, like it's a great way to connect with other business owners. And whenever you create content on there, it is literally like what we wish Instagram would be. Everyone sees our posts, like people who aren't in our network see our posts. And so those that are taking advantage of just posting on LinkedIn, especially video showing up, you really stand out and your message is heard. Now, I don't think it's going to be like that forever because like Facebook and Instagram, as they became more popular, it became a lot more difficult to get your content seen. So right now it's just like this open platform and they're able to build their following and find not only business connections, but also like great mentors and friends on there really, really quickly just because they show up, they stand out.
Absolutely. Well, and I have to share one story because I think it totally speaks to that. And when I was in college, I found this company that I wanted to work for. And I don't even remember how I found them, but it was like on Instagram and it was this weight loss company and I was studying nutrition. And I was like, oh, that would be the dream. It was somehow related to Chris and Heidi Powell. And I was like, oh, I would love to work there. And so I went on their website, found their like talent acquisition manager or hiring manager. I don't remember his position, but I messaged him on LinkedIn. I went on LinkedIn, found him, messaged him and was like, hey, I realize you're not hiring, but I would love to work for you. And he was like, and like told him why I'd be qualified and whatever. And he brought me in for a meeting and he was like, I don't have a job to offer you, but I think you're awesome. And by the way, you should follow my wife. She's in like a similar space as you. And I think you guys would really get along. So I started following her and she is how I ever found out about Powerhouse Women, which I've gone to the last 3 years and got to speak at this year, you know, but had I not seeked him out on LinkedIn, I never would have like, none of that would have transpired the way that it did. And that's a small example of the 5 minutes that I've used LinkedIn in the last few years, but it's just, it's really cool how it can bring these connections. It's kind of like a back door into meeting people. And like we were talking about, you know, trying to intern or talk to somebody that does something that you think you might be interested in. I do think LinkedIn, and I'm like calling the kettle black because I know I'm not using it, but it could be a really good way to do things like that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah, totally. It's if you want to find someone in any role, you can find them on LinkedIn and it's nice because you can find them by their title. Like you were saying, you found the hiring manager. And also it's nice because the direct message feature, it's not as utilized by people just trying to spam as much as like say on Instagram. Yeah. A lot of times it's like people trying to have genuine connections, which is really nice so that whenever you message someone, it gets seen, it gets read, it gets responded to. So it's really just, it's a platform that I highly recommend anyone listening jumps on and takes advantage of because I was like you in that I thought, well, you have used it some, but I wasn't actively using it until a year ago. And then I was like, oh my gosh.
Like, wow. Yeah.
This is crazy. So many opportunities are available on it.
That's awesome. Are there any other tools or softwares or apps or like some of the more like really tactical things that have been really helpful for you as you've, again, either gone through this transition, started your business, tried to stay organized, kind of anything in that realm?
So I recommend someone finding some sort of task management app right away. And it's got to be one that like you like. For example, I think two of the most popular ones that are free are Trello and Asana. And people have hard feelings one way or another. That is so helpful. For me, I like Asana. I literally use it for everything from grocery lists to managing my content, planning it out to my tasks. Like that's where I dump everything and it's free. So even if you don't run your own business and you just want to organize your life and your tasks at work, like it's amazing. For a new business owner, I would also recommend getting some sort of CRM just so that you can keep track of your leads, of people who you want to reach out to collaborate with, anyone like that. HubSpot is free to get started and it even comes with a little calendar that you can schedule on, which is nice. And then Zoom for meetings. Zoom is awesome. We're using Zoom right now.
Yeah.
You can meet face to face. I love it. So those are three tools that are all free to start using.
Absolutely. And we won't get too nitty gritty on the business stuff, but can you just speak to what a CRM is in case anybody doesn't know?
So a CRM is a customer relationship manager, and it's going to be where you keep details on the person's information, whether that's their email, their phone number, their birthday, whatever you want to keep track of. You can keep notes, so what you had conversations about. You can set like follow-up reminders. So if I'm supposed to follow up with them in a week to see if they want to move forward, you can just set that reminder there. It helps keep you organized and look very professional so that you're never like, wait, what did we talk about? Or right. Forget to follow up.
Yeah. And I am team Trello. So I think people do have feelings one way or the other. But one thing that I just want to highlight for audience or for people that are listening that aren't business owners is that getting organized can apply to any area of your life. And I've been meaning to do an episode on decision fatigue, which I'm sure you're familiar with, that I haven't done yet. But you know, putting your grocery list somewhere, putting things in your life that you feel like maybe could be a little bit more organized into a task manager can still be so valuable because it's less that you have to remember, it's less sticky notes around your house, and the less energy you're spending trying to remember and keep track of things that could be better organized, the more you're going to be able to show up for people in your life, for your job. You're going to have better energy because you don't feel like you're always playing catch up and trying to remember things. So if you're listening to this and you don't own a business, I absolutely think a task manager could still be super valuable for you. And I would imagine that you would agree.
Yes, absolutely. I don't know how I lived without one before. Honestly.
Right. Absolutely. And my last question for you is, what do you believe are the ingredients of a fulfilling life?
That is an awesome question, Presley.
Thanks.
So the ingredients of fulfilling life would be to have love for yourself, have love for others, and to always be open to receiving.
I like that. That's good. I haven't heard that one yet. Thank you so much for being here, Katie. I really appreciate your time. And I know that it's not easy. It's a little bit vulnerable to talk about kind of going through this transition, but I just know that so many people are going to get a lot out of it. So thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Presley. I really enjoyed talking to you and appreciate everyone who listened.
Hey guys, before you go, I just want to mention a few quick things. First, if you loved this episode, please share it with a friend. Just shoot them a message with the link, which you can do right from your podcast app. Or I would love it if you post a screenshot of this episode to your social media or your Instagram story, and then just make sure you tag me at Hey Presley so I definitely see it and can thank you. And if you haven't yet, please do subscribe to the show so you don't miss upcoming episodes. As always, any references, tools, or links mentioned in this episode are right there in the show notes for your convenience. And if you have any questions for me, suggestions for the show, anything like that, shoot me a message on Instagram, again, at Hey Presley, or at podcast@heypresley.com. Thank you so much for listening, and make it a great day.